a great chapter, but in verse number 1, the Bible reads, through desire, and this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible, through desire, a man having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. And what I want to talk about tonight is the desire of the heart, your desire. And here the Bible says, through desire, a man having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. And then verse 2 says this, a fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. Now, have you ever heard people talk about, I just need to find myself? Who's ever heard somebody say that? I'm just trying to find myself right now, you know? I'm just not really satisfied with life. I just need to discover myself, or, you know, my own heart and my dreams and my wishes, and they want to find themselves. Whereas the Bible says, through desire, a man having separated himself seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. The fool has no delight in understanding, knowledge, wisdom, the Bible, the truth. They just want to go find themselves. You know, they want to find out what life has to offer. Now, I want to talk about what is your desire tonight. And what our desire is what drives us. The driving force that causes a man to separate himself. And by the way, this is a separated Baptist church. This isn't one of these, you know, it's funny, the buzzword you see now on church advertisements is connect, you know, get connected, connection, and you're going to connect with the message. I want to disconnect. You know, I'm separated. I don't want to be just like everybody else. I don't want to be a part of some group or just part of, you know, mainstream Christianity or mainstream America or the culture of the 21st century. Hey, I want to be separated. I want to be sanctified. I want to be set apart. I want to be different. I want to be, like God said, a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Right. I want to be separated. Well, in order to separate yourself from the crowd, in order to separate yourself from the world, in order to separate yourself from the lukewarm Christianity that surrounds you, it starts with desire. Desire is the driving force. Desire is the engine that will get you there. Okay? Through desire, a man having separated himself seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. It's going to take desire for you to search out and find out, you know, the Bible, its meanings, the truth. Now, look if you would at, we're going to talk about some right and wrong desires tonight. Because if a desire is what drives you forward, having the wrong desire is going to take you down the wrong path. Having the right desires is going to be the driving force when things get hard and they're difficult that's going to keep you going in the Christian life. If your desires are in the right place. Look if you would at Romans, well look at Luke 20. I'll read you Romans 10. Look at Luke chapter 20. See, Romans 10 says this, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved, for I bear them record that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. So Paul's desire was to see people get saved. His family, his relatives, his nation, his countrymen, he had a burning desire to get those people saved. Now listen to this. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, talking about the pastor of a church, also known as a bishop, he desireth a good work. Now look at Luke 20. I'm going to show you the opposite of that. Look at Luke 20, verse 45. This is Jesus Christ speaking. Then in the audience of all the people, he said unto his disciples, beware of the scribes, which desire to walk in long robes, and love greetings in the markets, and the highest seats in the synagogue, and the chief rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses, and for a pretense, or for a show make long prayers, the same shall receive greater damnation. What is he saying there? Beware of the preacher who wears the long robe. That's what he said. Beware of the scribes, which desire to walk in long robes. They desire greetings in the markets. In Matthew 23, when Jesus is basically preaching the same sermon, he said they love the greetings where they're called rabbi, where they're called master, where they're called father. And he said, be not therefore like unto them. He said they desire the long robe. They desire the greeting in the market. They desire the highest seat in the synagogue, the chief rooms of feasts. They desire to publicly make a long prayer that will impress people, that will impress man. Now let me ask something. If a person desires to be a pastor, is that a good desire or a bad desire? The Bible says, if a man desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. But if he desires a title in front of his name, if he desires the accolades, if he desires recognition, if he desires sitting in a higher seat, he says that's a wicked desire. And so you better ask yourself, if you're a young man saying, oh, I'd like to pastor a church someday, I'd like to start a church someday, or be in the ministry someday, or be the preacher someday, hey, you better ask yourself, why do you desire that? Is it because you desire, like Paul, to get people saved? Is it because you desire to do the work? He said the right desire for being a bishop is desiring to do the work. He said to Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. You know, don't just have the title. Don't you, oh, I'm an evangelist, I'm a preacher, I'm a pastor. He said, do the work of an evangelist. Desire the work, Timothy. If you want to be a pastor, desire to do the work, not the title, not the position, not the accolades. Because, by the way, if you're the right kind of pastor, you're not going to get the greeting in the supermarket. Oh, wow. Oh, are you Pastor Steve Anderson? Did you just write that book, Your Best Life Now? Boy, your teeth don't look the same in real life. You know, your teeth look kind of messed up. And on the Photoshop, it's amazing what they can do with that thing, you know. You really think that the right kind of preacher gets a bunch of greetings in the marketplace? And by the way, the right kind of preacher doesn't wear around a long robe either. If Jesus Christ preached, he said, beware of the preacher that loves the long robe. Why do we have a bunch of preachers in 2009 who love to wear these long robes? This is as long as my robe gets right here. Any longer, and it's not right with God. Okay? Now, look, this is a suit coat. I don't need some flowing robe that drags on the floor like a Catholic priest. It looks like a dress. And Jesus is warning of people who desire a religious position because they want to be seen of men. They want to pray long prayers in the corners of the street. They want to sound a trumpet. They want to throw a bunch of money in the plate in front of everybody. They want to stand up in a service and raise their hand and say, oh, pledge $1,000 toward the building fund. Oh, give $5,000 right now. Oh, God bless you. Hey, that is not the right desire. That is the most empty desire that you could have in your life. There's nothing more empty than man's praise. It's like the most hollow thing in the world. Getting the praise of man. You know, you may like it at first. It may stroke your ego first. But you know what? It's so worthless. Why don't you get up and just preach what God said? It doesn't matter whether people like it or not. Do the work. Do the work of an evangelist, by the way, which is soul winning. Evangelism is preaching the gospel house to house, door to door, like Jesus did, like he said his disciples to do in Matthew 10 and elsewhere. Hey, do the work. Love the work. Desire the work. Desire the praise, not of men, but of God. The Bible says circumcision is not that outward circumcision in the flesh in Romans 2. He said circumcision is the inward circumcision of the heart and of the spirit, whose praise is not of men, but of God. And so people who desire to be a pastor, I would challenge them to look inside and say, what is it that you desire? Do you desire the work? Do you desire to go to a town that needs a good church and bring them the gospel? Bring salvation to the people of your country? Or do you just desire greetings? Oh, you're Pastor so-and-so. You know, somebody's going to recognize you out in public and think you're so cool, you know, because you're the pastor. Or, oh, wow, you wear a special, you know, your collar turn around backwards and wear a flowing robe and everything like that. Or you put some title for it, doctor. You know, I remember one time I won this guy to Christ on the job. And I said, hey, let's listen to a preaching tape. And I pulled the preaching tape out and it said, like, Dr. So-and-so. He's like, doctor? And then, you know, I gave him a website. I said, here's a website with a bunch of preaching. He said, I went to the website, it was all these doctors. And he thought they were, you know, he thought that they worked in a hospital or something. He's just trying to understand, why are all these preachers calling themselves doctor? I was like, oh, they just, you know. Show me in the Bible somebody who was a doctor that was the right kind of a preacher. And I'm not saying that there aren't. Well, he wasn't a doctor, though. He was a physician. The only time the Bible talks about doctor, it's these scribes and Pharisees, the doctors of the law, right? Okay, that's the only time. I remember when Jesus was blowing them out of the water in the temple at age 12. Those were the doctors of the law. You know, it was the scribes. It was the Sadducees, the Pharisees, whoever they were. Okay? And so, these titles, and I'm not saying that anybody who's called doctor is a bad guy. I am saying that anyone who puts a degree on their wall, master's degree, needs to get right with God, because you're no master of theology. We have one master, and his name's Jesus Christ. And just as much as you're not supposed to be called father, the Bible says not be not ye called master. Okay? Or bachelor or associate or whatever degree you have. Look, what is it that you desire? To have your own little office? To have your little degree on the wall? To wear a fancy outfit that says I'm the pastor of such and such the church? You know what? You have the wrong desire. But if you desire the work, that's a good thing. If you desire to pastor because you want people saved, hey, that's a great desire. And so you got to make sure that your desires are right. Let me put it to you this way. What motivates you? Why do you come to church? Why do you come Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? Why do you go out on soul winning? Is it to impress man? Is it to please man? Or is it because you desire to get people saved? Look, if you would, at 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2. You're in Luke. Just go toward the end of the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. And here's a very famous scripture from 1 Peter chapter 2. We want to have our desires right. And that's just one example. Let me give you some more examples. It says in 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Now, this is a very profound statement, because newborn babes have a very strong desire for their mother's milk. I mean, this is the only thing they desire. I mean, it's like a monomania. They just have one thing, and that's all they can think about. I mean, you can try to play with them. You can carry them. You can give them the toy. You can give them everything else. What do they want more than anything else? Mom, food, feed me. I'm starving for mother's milk. He said, that's how you ought to desire God's word. David said, I opened my mouth and panted for the desire that I have for thy word. I mean, he said, my tongue cleaveth to the roof of my mouth like with a thirst for God's word. He said, my soul thirsteth after God. He was imagine just panting. Imagine a baby screaming and going, feed me. And then ask yourself how much you want to read that Bible. Whether it just sits on the shelf, whether it's a chore, or whether you're just screaming, give me the Bible. Give me God's word. Feed me. Get me to church. I want to hear preaching. I want to read. I want to learn. I want a desire to seek and intermeddle with all wisdom. I must have God's word. Job said this, I have esteemed the words of thy mouth more than my necessary food. He said, if I have to choose between my physical food for lunch today, or am I going to be able to read the Bible today? He said, I'll skip lunch. I'll skip dinner. Just give me the Bible. This is more important to me than my food. Now, food is a pretty strong desire. Now, I've met some people who don't seem like they care about food. You know, they just skip meals, don't care. That's not me, though. I mean, I don't know if there's something wrong with me or something, but I mean, if I don't eat, I mean, I'm starving. I mean, I'm starving if I skip a meal. And I mean, if that's how we ought to be with God's, you know, if we haven't read the Bible, we ought to be starving. You know, sometimes I'll read my Bible in the morning, and then later in the day, it's like, have I even read the Bible? You know, you don't feel like you've read it enough. Because, you know, you want to read more. It ought to be something that we want to do. Now, don't let Bible reading become a chore. Let it be like a newborn baby desiring that comfort. Desiring that food. And a lot of people, sometimes they can turn it into a chore. Now look, I believe strongly in reading through the Bible cover to cover. I mean, every book. And, you know, either read it through once a year, twice a year, four times a year, whatever your growth is, beyond that, once a month, whatever. I think at a minimum, you should be reading your Bible through once per year. I think that's, you know, there's nothing in the Bible about that, but I would set that as a really reasonable 15 minutes a day, okay, to get through the whole book in 1 year, 15, 20 minutes. You know, that should be a minimum standard. I mean, that'd be great to do that at least. At least then you're getting the whole picture each year. But you know what? Don't get too hung up on the reading schedule, okay? To where it becomes a burden. You know, sometimes just sit down and read what you want to read. You know, and sometimes what I do, and to be honest with you, to this day, I have never read through the Bible cover to cover in order. I've read through the Bible cover to cover scores of times, but have I read it in order? Never one time. Now, if you read it through in order, that's great. But me personally, I like to skip around, and what I do is I just mark it off. You know, I just keep checklists and keep a record of what I'm reading, what I've read, because I want to read what I want to read, and I find that I read more when I'm reading what I like right now. You're going to go through different phases where the Gospels are what you desire to read, and you really want to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Other times, you really want to get into the Old Testament and read the Mosaic Law, and the other times, you're really enjoying the book of Psalms, or you know, you're interested in the big, long, heavy prophecy of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. Other times, you're reading Paul's epistles. Other times, you say, man, I want to read the book of Acts. Read what you want to read. Desire it. Want to read it, and then read what you want to read. And let it be a joy to you. God doesn't want to look down and see you as this burden. Oh, I have to do this reading. You know, He wants to look down and say, okay, my children are enjoying reading the Bible. They want to fellowship with me. They want to hear what I have to say. And so, if you're the type of person that goes, you know, from Genesis to Revelation, starts over, so, you know what? If that's you, then do that. But if you're more the person that goes through different phases, like that's the way my personality is. In every area of my life, I kind of go through phases. That's just who I am. And so therefore, I read according to that pattern. And I just make a note of it, mark it off. I might read one book, you know, 10 times in a row, because that's what I'm interested in right now. And then come back and hit the other ones. And you know, you just want to make sure that you're reading the whole thing so that you're not getting imbalanced. Okay. But read what you want to read. Desire to read it. Love it. Crave it. Starve for it. That's what the Bible is saying as far as your desire. So the first desire we saw was what? Hey, desiring to get people saved. Desiring the work of the ministry. Not desiring a position or a title, but desiring to do the work. Desire to read the Bible, to learn the Bible. Also, desire to be different. Desire to separate yourself from the crowd. Don't be like everybody else. Don't just follow the crowd mindlessly. Don't even just go with the flow of anything. Don't go with the flow of anybody's flow. Be different. Be yourself. Stand out and excel those around you. Excel in soul winning. Excel in Bible knowledge. When you go to school, when you go to your job, when you're at work, stand out as being a cut above. Be like Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, where Nebuchadnezzar said, these people are 10 times better than everyone else that has come to me and shown their education. I find these 4 children 10 times better. Why? Because they were filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, they had God's Spirit upon them because they were studying the Bible, because God was blessing them. But not only that, turn if you would to Hebrews chapter 11. We're in 1 Peter, just flip right over to Hebrews chapter 11. See, today a lot of people desire money. You know, the love of money is the root of all evil, the Bible says, which while some have coveted after, they've erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Fall after righteousness, godliness, faith, you know, love, patience, meekness. We need to get the right desire. The desires of this world are for money, pleasure, easy street. I don't want to live on easy street. I want to work. I desire the work. I mean, if I literally, you know, won the lottery tomorrow, which is impossible since I don't play the lottery, but let's say for some reason somebody just handed me $1 million. Oh, quit my job, right? I'm not going to quit. I don't want to quit working. Just spend it. Spend it and keep working, right? Work. I mean, the Bible teaches that a man should work till the day that he dies. That's what it says. That's what he said to Adam. A lot of people, they get old, they retire, and then they don't even know what to do with themselves. Obviously, you're going to have to scale back work later in years, but man, do something with you. I don't want to play some cricket or some dumb game. You know what I mean? Some game with a wooden hammer that's like, you know, this big or something. Or what are they? I don't even know what it is. I can't even tell the difference. I don't even know the difference between croquet and cricket. Are they the same game?
No.
Are they 2 different games? As far as I know, they're the same game. That's how much I know about it, okay? I'm not going to pull my socks up to my knees, you know, wear shorts and a Hawaiian shirt and play some game that I can't even tell the difference, okay? You know, work. We're born to work. Men are supposed to work. I love work. Desire to work. You say, well, but you know, my job is slow. Go out and do some soul winning. At least do something with your life. Work. Study something. Build something. Preach something. You know, get somebody saved. Do something. Work. My desire is not to live on easy street. My desire is not to be rich. The Bible says, labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. The love of money is the root of all evil. It's not about being rich. It's not about living on easy street. It's not about having security and living in a little bubble. God is my security. God's going to protect me. God's going to care for me. God's going to sustain me and feed me and provide for me. What else does the world desire? Just physical pleasure for the body. It's such vanity. Solomon went down that, right? He said, I hated life. He said, when I saw something I wanted, I just took it. He said, when I desired something, I just gave it to myself. You know what? It didn't give him happiness. Look at Hebrews 11:13. It says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. You know, this is talking about basically people who, in the Old Testament, but it's symbolic that they were kind of leaving the world, leaving the worldly crowd, leaving the worldly friends, leaving the party scene, because they desired, it says in verse 16, they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. He said in verse 15, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. You know, and there's a danger with believers going back to the world. Sometimes believers who've separated themselves through desire, they've separated themselves, seeked and intermeddled with all wisdom, joined the church, gotten involved in soul winning, reading the Bible, there's always the chance to go backward. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. No one is above going back to the old crowd, the old ways. If you're mindful of it, if you desire it, if you want it, eventually you'll be there. You got to desire the better country. You got to desire the zealous Christian life. You got to desire the separation. You got to desire the wisdom and knowledge that comes from the Bible. He that winneth souls is wise. Paul said this in Philippians 1:23. You don't have to turn there. For I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. That's not what the world desires. The world's desires are all carnal and fleshly and temporal and visible. Paul's greatest desire was just to get to heaven and see Christ. To get to heaven and see those that he'd won to the Lord. He said, what is our hope? Our rejoicing, our crown of rejoicing. He said, are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ is coming? For ye are our glory and joy about those that he'd won to the Lord. See, the world is never going to satisfy you. The world's desires are not satisfied. Go to Proverbs. I'm going to show you a lot of verses about how the world's desires will fail. How, you know, they're basically just smoke and mirrors. It reminds me of a bullfighter. You know, the matador has the red, you know, sheet or whatever it is. And the bull actually thinks that there's something there. You know, it thinks that there's something worthy about attacking that sheet. It thinks that there's some kind of a goal or some kind of a prize. But there's nothing behind the sheet. It's a game. And the matador is just making a fool out of the bull, making the bull look like an idiot. And that's the entertainment, is to watch the bull, you know, just run around in circles and be foolish. That's what the devil is, like the spiritual matador putting these little images out in front of you on a TV screen or a billboard. Ooh, you know, you desire the iPhone, you know. Desire the Corvette. Desire this fancy car. Desire this beautiful woman. That beautiful woman that you see on that magazine, why don't you get to know her in real life? She's a real pain in the neck. Seriously. You think these supermodels are these wonderful Christian godly ladies that you'd like to have in your home? You really think you'd like to be married to that image of these supermodels? She's selling her body. What kind of a character you think she has if she's willing to just sell images of her body to the world for every filthy person to look at? She's a self-centered. She's not righteous. She's not godly. She's not going to bake you cookies and make dinner and clean the house. She's going to be out playing the whore, my friend, because that's what she is. But the devil puts in front of you and says, oh, don't you wish you had this woman? If you had that woman for 1 week, you'd just be trying to see how fast you could get rid of her and get her out of your sight. It's true. Don't be deceived by beauty of the world. The Bible, you know, this is in my sermon somewhere. As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. And a woman who's stripping down on a magazine cover is without discretion. Right. It's like, oh, how beautiful. That'd be like if you put a little jewel in the nose of a pig. A muddy, filthy swine, put a jewel in the... Say, oh, isn't it beautiful? No, it's ugly. It's dirty. You know, but are you that deceived that you just fixated on that one little image, that one little gem in the snout? See, the devil is like it. He's a deceiver. So he puts all this in front of you and says, you know, Toro, Toro, you know, here, look at this image. Look at all the money. Oh, you know, the lifestyle of going to the casino and you're a high roller and all these beautiful women around you and you drive a fancy car and you're so cool and you're dropping down, you know, all these Benjamins on the, you know, roulette or whatever. I don't know anything about it. I'm trying to paint a picture of something I don't know a lot about, okay? But what I'm saying is, it's all a scam. It's all a lie. Talk to the people who live that life. They're not happy. They're in rehab. They're on their third marriage. They're not living the life that you want to live. It's all a scam. The desire is never satisfied. You're in Proverbs. Let me just read this verse quickly, and then I'll get into the description of Proverbs. Habakkuk 2:5. You don't have to turn there. Yea, also, because he transgresseth by wine. Talk about someone who drinks, okay? He is a proud man. Because of what? Because of drinking. And by the way, have you seen people get proud when they drink? Think about Belshazzar when he drank. He drank wine. Next thing you know, he said, hey, let's get the vessels of the house of the Lord in here and let's drink booze out of God's cups and dishes from the temple in Jerusalem. Next thing you know, he saw the fingers of a man's hand writing on the wall. He was shaking and scared to death. His boldness was temporary, provided by the alcohol that he was drinking. Also, because he transgressed by wine, he's a proud man, neither keepeth home, who enlargeth his desire as hell. Now let me tell you something. Hell is a big place. There's a lot of people in hell tonight, my friends. A very big place. And the Bible says that hell is constantly enlarging itself as more people go there. Hell hath enlarged herself, the Bible says. He enlargeth his desire as hell, and is as death, and cannot be satisfied, and gathereth unto him all nations, and heapeth them under. The Bible says, whoso desireth, he said, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. The world is just always having this unquenchable desire. They want more and more. Ask the rich men of this world. Ask the Donald Trump. What he wants. More money. More power. More prestige. More popularity. More fame. You know, that's why they have to constantly build a new Trump Tower. Trump this. You know, I want everybody to know me. I want more money. More. It's vanity. It's worthless. He woke up this morning just like you and I did. He ate breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I ate a pretty good breakfast, lunch, and dinner. What has he got on me? My haircut looks better than his. You know what I mean? That's not saying a lot. But look at Proverbs. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:22, we already read the one about the jewel of gold and the swine's snout. It has nothing to do with the sermon. It's just an interesting verse. Look at verse 23. The desire of the righteous is only good. Are you in Proverbs 11:23? The desire of the righteous is only good. But the expectation of the wicked is wrath. We can desire great thing. We can desire heaven. We can desire the next session in God's Word, reading the Bible. We can desire the next person that we win to Christ. We have all these good desires to look forward to day after day. But the only thing the wicked can expect is that one day he's going to go to hell. Wrath. The wrath of God. He said in verse 24, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth. And there is that which withholdeth more than his meat, but attendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. It's talking about, you know, the wicked person who's just in it for themselves. All they can expect is the wrath of God. Whereas the liberal soul, the person who waters, who gives, who's generous, who helps others, hey, he's going to be watered himself. He's going to reap the good things that he's sown. The desire of the righteous is only good. Look at chapter 10, verse 21. Just back one chapter. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. The blessing of the Lord it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. It is as sport. Listen to this. It is as sport to a fool to do mischief. But a man of understanding hath wisdom. You know, people, they make a game or a contest out of sin. Drinking contests or whatever other filthy contests. The fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, verse 24. But the desire of the righteous shall be granted. Did you hear that? The fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him. The Bible talks about how those that are unsaved, it says in Hebrews that he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. No matter what anybody says, the unbeliever fears death. He's afraid to die. He's afraid to go to hell. He's afraid of being destroyed. And God says, you know what? He ought to, because it's going to happen. He said, the fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him. But the desire of the righteous shall be granted. So the things that we as Christians hope for, we desire for, we're looking forward one day that God will bless us or give us the desires of our heart. He says, you know what? God will give you your desires. He'll give the fears of the wicked to them, and he'll grant the desires of the righteous. He said in verse 25, as the whirlwind passeth, so is the wicked no more, but the righteous is an everlasting foundation. Look at chapter 13, verse 12. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. What does it mean to be deferred? Deferral is when something is pushed back into the future. Sometimes we want some. Sometimes our desires, we maybe want something now. We don't want to wait. We're impatient, right? We desire our wishes to be fulfilled immediately. And he says, look, hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it's a tree of life. You know, it will come. You may have to wait for it, but you know what? God's blessing will come to you surely, is what he's saying here. Look at verse number, look at chapter 24. Here's another, just a wrong desire, a pointless, empty desire. In chapter 24, verse 1, it says, be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. For their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. Through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. Now turn to the book of Psalms. That was Proverbs. Look at Psalms. Chapter number, let's go backwards through Psalms. Look at Psalm 145, verse 19. The Bible says in Psalm, this is a great promise. Psalm 145, 19 is a promise that you can claim for your own life. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. Look at Psalm 112, verse 10. But you see, it comes to this. What is your desire? God will fulfill your desires if you're righteous, but if you're righteous, you have the right desire. You know, if you just desire money and fame and power, you know, God's not going to grant it. If you desire to get people saved, you desire the office of a bishop so you can do the good work, you desire, things that are righteous and good in your life, God will grant you those desires. He says in Psalm 112:10, the wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Now that's a stark contrast. He said he'll fulfill the desire of them that fear him in verse 19 of Psalm 145. Here he says the wicked shall see and be grieved. Hey, the desire of the wicked shall perish. Look at Psalm 73. Go back to Psalm 73. Look at verse 25. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. So, but more than any person, he desired God. He loved God more than human companionship. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go whoring from thee, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all thy works. And finally turn to Psalm 37, verse 3. Psalm 37, verse number 3, the Bible reads, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. For he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. Now turn to Galatians look at 2 Corinthians 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 in the New Testament. Let me sum all that up for you from Psalms and Proverbs. Every person in this world has desires, right? Unbelievers have things, and what is a desire? It's something that you want or long for or wish for. The unbelievers of this world, they wish for things. They have desires. Some of their desires are right. You know, the young person out in the world desires to grow up and be married and have a family. That's a good desire. People sometimes that are in a false religion, they're desiring to know God, but they're misguided. They need someone to preach them the truth. Unbelievers have desires. Believers have desire. Believers who live a righteous life, they have desires. Believers who are backslidden and living in sin, they also have desires. We all want our desires, our wishes, our wants to be fulfilled. But the truth is that when you have the wrong desire, God will not give you satisfaction of that desire. And even if you get what you think you want. Like, remember when God gave the children of Israel the desire that they wanted with the quail meat? But you know what? He gave them their heart's desire, but he sent leanness to their soul, the Bible says. Even while it was in their teeth, okay, they grumbled against him. And even while it was in their teeth, the plague broke out among them, and God's judgment came upon them. You see, the desire of the wicked is going to be cut off. The people who just love to have money and everything that the world has to offer, they're never going to be satisfied in life. They're not happy. If you have the right desires, if you let God give you your desires, if you desire His Word, you desire people being saved, you desire wisdom and truth and things that are right, you will be a fulfilled person in your life. It's true. The people that you'll meet that are the most satisfied, that are the most fulfilled, that are the most happy and content, would be another term, they're the people who desire what God wants, and God gives it to them. I mean, getting what you want is going to obviously make you happy if it's the right desire. The righteous is going to rejoice when God grants his desire. It might take a long time, but when it comes, it's a tree of life. Whereas the world, what do they hope for? Even when they get what they want, it's vanity. And when they don't get what they want, they're even more vexed and angry. But look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 7, verse 6. Bible says, nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you when he told us, watch this, your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoiced the more. 1 Corinthians 14:1, you don't have to turn there, but the Bible says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. You see, we ought not be in the world's category of just desiring everything for self and what can I do for me. The more selfish you are, the more unfulfilled you're going to be in life. Because when you get what you want, it's vanity. And when you don't get what you want, you're going to be even more vexed and angry and frustrated because you're not getting what you want. You lust and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lusts, the Bible says. But we as a church ought to be like this Corinthian church, a church known for their fervency and earnest desire. A church that goes out soul winning with a desire to get people saved. A burning desire, a strong desire that says, let's knock every door. Let's get people saved. Let's preach the gospel. Man, we want to know the Bible. We want to hear preaching. We want to learn more. We want to memorize the Bible. We want to study more. Our desire is going to cause us to separate ourselves and seek and intermeddle with all wisdom. We ought to be filled with a burning, not the world's desire, which is just vain. It amounts to nothing. It always leaves people brokenhearted and let down, even when they get what they want, or if they don't get what they want. We ought to have a burning desire. Not just going through the motions, not just going to church because we have to, not just reading the Bible because we have to. No, reading the Bible because we desire it. We want it. And you know, if you have the wrong desire, pray to God to let Him change your desire. I mean, I've prayed that prayer to God many times and said, you know what, God? There's certain things that are wrong, and I love those things. I desire those things, and they're wrong. They're sinful things. I say, God, make me hate sin. I mean, I've prayed that prayer literally hundreds of times. I promise you, I've prayed hundreds of times and said, God, cause me to hate sin. Help me to desire the right things. Help me to want what I should want. Help me to desire what I should desire. And you know what? God will give you the desires of your heart. And it'll be something that's worthwhile. It'll be a long, enduring joy and blessing in your life. Not just this fleeting, oh, I desire, you know, the next cigarette. I just desire more drugs. I desire to get drunk. I desire to party. I desire to sleep around. I mean, who can really stand up here today and say, you know what, let me tell you about this one time that I committed fornication, and to this day it has satisfied me. I mean, I'm happy and content today because of the fornication that I committed. Boy, that one time that I drank that beer. In fact, I drank the whole six-pack. And you know what? To this day, I just have a warm, fuzzy, contented feeling. I mean, I am fulfilled. I have arrived in life. Even the next day, it was just, what's the next thing? But you know what? I can honestly still rest content in the fact that I'm saved, that I'm a soul-winning Christian, that I have the Bible, that I've got the Bible in my heart. This is lasting joy. And so our desires are important. Examine yourself tonight. Don't just listen to the sermon, but stop and think, wait a minute, what do I really want out of life? And a lot of people don't even know what they want. They just go through life from day to day, just living to the next meal, living to the next weekend, you know, get through this week, so I get to the weekend, and the weekend's over. Hey, you know, you go to people on Monday morning, hey, how you doing?
Oh, it's Monday, you know. 4 days and 7 hours and 53 minutes of work, and I, you know. And they just go through work. You know how people are like that. Oh, it's Wednesday, we're halfway through the week.
But you know, when your desire is God's Word, you can enjoy every day of the week. When your desire is to love your family, to love your friends, to love your church, to love the Bible, to love soul winning, you know, every day could be a good day. Today, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. Not like, oh, I hate Sunday night because I know when I go to bed, I got to get up and go to work. Oh, no. That's terrible. I don't know. Maybe your job's terrible or something. But you know what? You can enjoy your job if you're meditating upon God's Word on the job. If you're praying in your mind on the job, if you're loving people and doing good to others on the job, and not worrying about yourself, but worrying about your neighbor on the job, taking care of them, making them happy, doing something for them, you can enjoy your job. You can learn to love your job. And so, ask yourself this question, what do I want out of life? What is it that I want this week? What is it that I want this month? What are my goals for my life? And don't just go through life from week to week, day to day. Stop and say, where am I going? What do I desire? What do I want? You say, oh, I want to pastor a church someday. Ask yourself why. You know, it's funny because the Bible gives qualifications for being a pastor, and one of them is that he's the husband of one wife. And yet many people will go and be a pastor anyway, even though they're on their second wife or third wife. They still are a pastor anyway. You know what that tells me? It tells me it's not that they desire the work. They just want that position, even though God is saying no. Because they could still do the work without that position. I mean, you know why I'm a pastor today? Because I honestly believe that this is what God wants me to do. And if I thought that it wasn't what God wanted me to do, I wouldn't be doing it, to be honest with you. It's it's true. I mean, honestly, it's not that I just really wanted to see my face all over Xerox on little yellow pieces of paper all over Tempe. I just think it's really cool. Just have my face, you know. I just think it's really cool to be on the internet. Yeah, you know, and have all these people, you know, that never, like, leave their bedroom or something. You know, they're just on the computer all day, you know. They know who I am. You know what I mean? Honestly, to be honest with you, I'd much rather just go do my own thing somewhere. That's the type of person that I am, honestly. Just leave me alone, you know. I mean, I'm preaching the word. I'm going soul winning. I've started a church because I believe that that's what God wanted me to do. And you know what? Let me tell you something. God is looking for people to do that. God is looking for a man to make up the hedge and stand in the gap. And believe me, we need it in this country. And that's why I started this church. Not for fun, not because I thought it was cool. Because there's nothing cool about it. I mean, when I started the church, nobody was impressed with me. Nobody thought I was cool. They hated me. They made fun of me. They still ridicule me. To this day, nobody's impressed by our church. Nobody, the world doesn't think that this is cool. They're impressed with Joel Osteen and Billy Graham and Rick Warren. They don't think this is cool. I did it because I thought that it was what God wanted me to do, and because I desired to do the work. Okay. Now listen, if you have a desire one day of being a pastor, why don't you just do an examination, just stop and think, why? Why do I want to? Is it for me? Or is it because I feel like this is what God wants done? And look, God's, don't get me wrong, because God, man alive, we need people. I mean, there are cities all across America that are dying for a good church, that are dying for somebody to knock that door. But you know what? If you don't go into it with the right spirit, you're going to fail anyway. You will fail, or you will compromise. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it. But the vast majority start a church, they compromise. Their church is filled with new evangelicals and liberals, and it's not a strong soul-winning church. The preaching is watered down. Because they've compromised to please man. Because they just, all they cared about was the long garment and the uppermost seat. When your desire is to do the work, you'll be able to go through the ridicule. You know, yeah, I get some greetings in the marketplace too. You know what I mean? Sometimes it's an obscene gesture, you know, sometimes it's somebody yelling at me or you know, telling me off. That's your greet. I got a greeting in the marketplace for you, young fundamental Baptist pastor. But it's not the one that the scribes were coveting. And so the bottom line is, if you do it right, you're not going to get man's accolades. And so therefore, you better have the right desire going into it, or you're either going to fail and quit, or you're going to compromise, which is worse. I'd rather fail and quit than to be a compromiser, than to be some watered-down, sissified, you know, preacher that's compromised everything, doesn't win souls, doesn't do the work. I'd rather just quit. And you know, I don't want to be a quitter, but I'd rather be a quitter than a compromiser and a false pastor, a fake, a phony, a fraud. And so get your desire right. You know, that's one example. What do you, you know, you desire money, you desire business, you know, do you desire the right things? We read a lot of scriptures tonight. Does your desire match up with what God says? That's what he asks. You look for happiness, success, get your desire right. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for your word, and thank you for so many things that I can think of right now that I've desired throughout my life, that you granted me those desires, and I thank you so much for blessing me and being so good to me, which I don't deserve. But you've been good to me and granted me many, many just small things that I've desired, and you've given me those things. And there are other things I still desire, and I pray that you'll grant me those desires. But God, help me to have the right desire. And whatever desire I have in my heart that's wrong, please just take away that desire from me. Take away the desire to do wrong and to commit sin. Give me the right desires. And everyone who's here, dear God, give us the right desires so that we can desire something that's worth it, that eventually we can receive at your hand. Father, we love you and thank you for everything.